Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. Everybody needs some variety in life. That's what I love about Chumba Casino. They know how to keep things fresh and exciting. All their games are free to play, like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire. You can claim free daily login bonuses, too. And they release new games every week. So spice things up with ChumbaCasino.com now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Previously on the Pavement Top 50.
This week on the show, we've cracked the top five with the first track off Slanted and Enchanted, the absolutely electric Summer Babe. Rohit, what are your initial thoughts about this song?
This is definitely one of those songs that I kind of dismissed as too noisy or maybe even too basic, if I'm being honest. But then, yeah, it grew on me. Now I love it because it's one of the same things, right? Like you kind of don't even... And I think there's another dimension to appreciating the band if you're a guitarist, because the stuff he does with his guitar, it's kind of not... You can't just... It's not obvious. It's non-obvious stuff.
Hey, this is Westy from the rock and roll band Pavement, and you're listening to The Countdown.
Hey, it's JD here, back for another episode of our Top 50 Countdown for seminal indie rock band Pavement. Week over week, we're going to count down the 50 essential Pavement tracks that you selected with your very own top 20 ballots. I then tabulated the results using an abacus, a ball of Moroccan hash, and two knives on the burner. How will your favorite song fare in the rankings? Well, you'll need to tune in to find out. So there's that. This week, I'm joined by Pavement superfan Tristan in Amsterdam. Tristan, how are you doing, motherfucker?
I'm doing well, JD. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, no, this is my pleasure. This is, you've got a cool background. Born in Toronto. So we connected over that.
Born in the States, unfortunately.
Oh, you're born in Boston.
I was born in Boston, but then I was up in Canada for high school and college, or for university. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. I misunderstood that then. Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Good. It's confusing to me even. So don't worry about it.
Well, let's get right into this. Let's get to your Pavement origin story.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, yeah, I'll just say currently, yeah, of course, obsessed with the band, love the band. That's why I'm here. But I guess I feel like a kind of a late adopter to Pavement, given that I think I got into them when I was in university, when I was at the University of Toronto. And so I've been like 19 or something, I think, 19 or 20, which feels late, especially listening to some of the other kind of episodes and hearing what other people's origin story. I feel a little, I mean, there's no shame in it now. I'm an older man now, so I understand. Everyone takes their route, but yeah, I think I was just always into alternative music, always into weirder stuff. And for whatever reason, as a younger person, I kind of avoided 90s rock, which was a foolish endeavor. I think maybe because I was born at the end of the 90s. So I think I kind of wanted to, get rid of it out of my life. And then I think it was the Sparkle Hard record that came out from the Jicks.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing Middle America, and as I was just saying, I kind of had this weird interaction with the States and Canada, kind of moving between the two in high school. And so heard Middle America, and it kind of like blew my mind. I truly remember walking around Toronto and hearing Middle America, just be like, you shouldn't be allowed to do that. Like that was the response. It's like, you shouldn't be allowed to do this. It's insane. I just remember, my second year dorm listening to Pavement a ton. Doing the typical like dip your toes in by starting off with maybe big singles and then, okay, maybe I'll play a record and see how that goes. And, I think at the time I was going through a breakup, so it really like I remember listening to Here a ton.
Yes.
And just like when you're going through a breakup in your, again, I was like in a stupid dining hall at university and it was like, oh, the food's disgusting. I want to avoid seeing this person that I care about, but I can't be with right now. I'm going to listen to Here and I don't know, like just get really upset. So that was kind of the, I guess the original origin. And then in a very almost, Malcolm's style way, I went and spent the summer after I got into Pavement. I was living in New York, interning at a talent agency actually. And I remember I'd have to wear a suit to go to the internship all the time. And I'd show up like hungover from the night before and in a suit. And I would walk to the internship blasting Pavement. And then a new girlfriend then got to hear me talk about how much I loved Pavement all summer. So I have this like, those early days are like very cold, a very, very cold Toronto winter. And then kind of like a scorching hot New York summer is my recollection with Pavement.
Oh man, you've got it all covered seasonally.
Yeah, I got lucky.
What is the live show situation like for you?
Oh yeah, and when I was getting really into them, I do remember being like pissed off because, I was 19 and what is that, been 2017. So I was born at the end of the 90s and I remember being like, God, these guys broke up like when I was one or two. Like I missed it. I remember being pretty pissed off about that. And I think I was getting a little bit into fellow Canadian Pavement head, Vish Khanna.
Yeah.
Who he had, I love Creative Control. He's such a cool dude. And I was listening to him and I think he was talking about seeing Pavement in Canada in the 90s. I just remember being really pissed off. These guys.
I can relate. I can relate.
Yeah. Yeah. So I missed obviously 2010. I would have been 12 then. I wasn't super 12 years old. I was really into Death Cab for Cutie, which is a different type of thing.
Yeah.
And, so yeah, I missed that show. And then when they announced, I was going to go to Primavera. Was going to be that first big Primavera show in it was supposed to be 2020.
That's right.
I remember I was going to buy tickets for that because I was going to line up with my university graduation. And that was going to be like my gift to myself for getting out of university.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm going to go see Pavement in Barcelona in Europe. I hadn't never been to Spain, but yeah, as things worked out, you know, COVID and everything, I ended up going to grad school here in Amsterdam. I live in Amsterdam currently in the Netherlands. And yeah, their tour of Europe was sick. It was awesome. And I think I got really, really lucky because, Europe's obviously a geographically smaller place than North America, than Canada and the States. So I was able to go see three shows while they were in Europe, which was
which show,
so sick. So I was at the first one I saw, I went to Paris and I went with my mother, which was
so
really
nice
fun. And it was really cool, man. And like my mom she's the one who really got me into music. I'd say she's probably around Pavement's age. I think they maybe even, she has some friends who went to University of Virginia when the kind of what was going on down there.
Holy,
I don't think
shit.
She knows any of them personally, but I think it's more so just like the age thing and like kind of same age as all the tragically hip people too, so that like generation.
Yeah.
And I remember bringing my mom to the Pavement show in Paris, and it was at a cool old, it was at like a theater.
Okay.
It was at a theater that was still show, like also a cinema, so we were like lining up to get into the Pavement show, and it's all a bunch of, I don't know, like dudes like me with like mustaches and too long a hair, and everyone's wearing flannels. And then it was like all these teenagers that were going to go see like, I don't know, a French film. And it was just a very silly situation. Like all these teenagers that were going out on date night. And it's like, I don't know, the most like hipsters in one hipster, for lack of a better term. I don't really know how to classify us, but there's a lot of mustaches and a lot of Yeah, scraggly hair, I guess. And I do great. Remember, yeah, I remember even at that show in Paris, like, I think because I had, that tour would have been what, 2022?
That's right.
Yeah, 22.
In fact, you saw them the night after I saw them at the, they did the last Roundhouse show. I want to say it was like a Tuesday, and then they left for Paris.
You were in, yeah.
Yeah.
Roundhouse is so cool. So cool to see him at the Roundhouse. Yeah. Oh. I saw Bill Callahan there. It was amazing. Oh,
I bet.
Yeah. He just played for 3 hours straight. Oh, it was wild. It was sick. But okay. Yeah. So then Paris, and then I went to Bremen to go see them.
Where is Bremen?
So that's northern Germany. So okay. Kind of in between, I guess, the Netherlands and Hamburg, loosely.
Okay.
So kind of in that. And again, really cool experience. I went and actually ran into, scheduled it to meet up with a friend from high school from Toronto, who's also a pavement head. And she and I hadn't seen each other in maybe 4 years. And we get like a little Airbnb together in Bremen and go see Pavement. And the venue was sick. It was so cool. It was like, it was so classic Germany, like smoking indoors. Tiny, tiny, tiny little venue.
God.
Yeah, it was like I think the theme of it was like, the theme of the venue was maybe like 1001 or like Arabian Nights or something like that. It was like a little orientalist kind of theme, but it was so German, and pool tables in the back. And yeah, it was just a really, and it was really small. Like it was a very kind of, we got really up close, and it was my friend and I, and then a bunch of like German teenagers were standing next near us, and the vibes were really nice. Everyone was really positive and kind. And it was like funny. We were with a bunch of like 15, 16 year old girls who had their mother with them. Like their mother was standing there, and it was cool. And like, it was just everyone was nice. It was obviously it's Germany. So, you know, they take their music pretty seriously. And Bremen is a bit of, I think maybe, similar to Hamburg, a bit still of a punky town.
Okay.
So it was like, yeah, it was a really cool, weird experience of being in a, and I went there just for that night, just to go see Pavement. And it was amazing. The show was really cool.
So it wasn't a seated theater.
Not a seated theater. No, because the first one in Paris was seated. Yeah. And then I went up to the front and at Paris, I was right on the stage. So I was like standing pretty much on this, like, yeah, right off the stage with a couple other people. And that was really cool. Like my ears were ringing for the next 2 days. I was off to the right. I think I was in front of Eibold.
Okay.
I think I was on the bassist side, but that was really cool. And then at Bremen, I was off to the right as well, but maybe 5 or 6 rows back. Like it was, I should have looked up what the capacity of that place was, but it was small. I remember thinking like, oh, this is pretty special. It felt like something I didn't expect to get out of seeing them, especially on a reunion tour.
That's how I felt.
They had
so nice.
Yeah. The Roundhouse was, what a cool venue.
Yeah.
And then in Amsterdam, they played at the Theater Carré, which is like the Royal Theater, I guess the closest that would be. I was closer to Paris. I mean, the Paris one was a big, big theater, and then the one in Amsterdam was, oh gosh, this is I should have looked at. I don't know, big, big theater. Like that's where the touring. I saw like Book of Mormon there, so it's like a, you know, a big touring theater for like big Dutch shows, and then also touring Broadway shows to come through, whatever. And that was pretty cool. One of my professors came to that show as well.
Really?
Yeah, my professor from the University of Amsterdam was getting my master's degree. And I told this guy, I was like, hey, man, you like Pavement, right? And he's like, yeah, you know, I remember them from the 90s. And I was like, cool, well, they're coming to town, man. Like, you got to go see them. And that was a pretty cool, that was fun. But that show was a nice way to cap it off.
Yeah, I bet.
In my hometown, in my like, you know, adopted hometown now.
Yeah.
And seated spot. Chilling, and that was the only show I went to solo. So my professor was there; he was in a different section, but I was just there by myself, and it was like a nice, kind of, yeah, triplet was nice. I was glad I got to do the three.
Yeah. Different environments.
Yeah. I got three very different types of shows, different things going. I mean, in Paris was great. Like, keep talking about Paris because, like, people jumped on stage in Paris.
They did?
Yeah, like, I mean, the French people, I can, my mother's French, I can talk about the, you know, French, they get excited, they love their shows. So, like, I think two separate people jumped on stage in Paris, and, yeah, one guy danced with them a bit, and they were, the band was cool, they were chilling with, like, they could, you know, they're pros, they know what they're doing.
Dude, if they were any more laid back, they would be horizontal. Like, it is fucking crazy.
Truly, truly. It was wild. I mean, probably like a, I don't know, early 20s year old guy ran, like, jumped on stage and was like dancing. And I think he even tried to sing with Malkmus a bit.
Jesus.
And then he knew when to jump. And then he, like, he kind of got a good read of the situation and he got off the stage. And then later, a older woman jumped up on stage and, like, danced with Malkmus. It was pretty cool. I mean, this, you know, if anyone is listening, was at Paris and will correct me, please do. But this is my recollection of it. I just, two people getting up on stage. And I remember going up to my mom after and being like, man, you guys are, French are crazy.
It wasn't your mom who jumped on stage.
No, my mom did not. But no, I wish. That'd be so cool.
That'd be a great story.
Me. Yeah.
So talk to me about what your go-to record is at this point. So, you know.
Oh, wow. Yeah. No,
do you have one, or is it depending on the situation?
I guess it's dependent. I mean, recently, because of the reissue of Terror Twilight,
yeah,
I feel like Terror Twilight was always like a record that I maybe didn't give enough love, which I feel like that was kind of a common conversation amongst Pavement heads. And then the reissue, I loved it, and I have some, I just remember really bumping that a lot, especially since I've been living out here. I don't know. I feel like I got to go with the cliche, but yeah, Crooked Rain and Wowie Zowie are like,
yeah,
for me, that double is so good. I mean, every record's is a hitter, and but yeah, Crooked Rain, and then I feel like that's a nice beginning. And then I would throw even American Water by Silver Jews in there. Because that to me is such a Malkmus record, though. I feel like the three of those kind of, it's a little country western, it's a little Southern California. I like that.
Yeah. God, I love that record. Jesus. I don't know.
I guess for me. Sorry.
Yeah. No. That's all right.
No, keep talking. I was wrapping my thing up.
No, that's cool. I was literally just going to ask you, though, if you want to get to the song.
Yeah, I would love to.
Okay. We'll take a quick break and come back with song number 4.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Hey, this is Bob Nastanovich from Pavement. Thanks for listening. And now on with a countdown.
4. Tristan in Amsterdam. We're here at number four. Four faces on Rushmore. Think about it. These next four songs are Pavement's Rushmore. Am I crazy? Shoot me an email at jd@mediumalchemist.com. So there's that. Now then, Silence Kid. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, love the song, first and foremost. And it was really sick to get back into it and listen to it again. I've been maybe listening to singles instead of doing full playthroughs recently.
Okay.
Or like choosing individual songs that I love. So it was nice to go back and just put on the beginning of the record, listen to the whole record through again and listen to all the B-sides and stuff. And the Silence Kid is like perfect start. My recollection. Like, it's just so, it gives you the whole feeling of the record immediately. Yeah, it's, I love it. And I forgot how much I loved it, I think. Yeah, it feels so warm. I forgot how warm it feels. And there's this like real sense that you're, and I get why everyone talks about this as like the California record, the Southern California record.
Yeah.
And you feel that with Silence Kid. And I love, is it Silence Kid? Is it Silent Kit? Is it, what's the name of it? I love it. I love that too. Like,
well, it's listed on the liner notes, this Silence Kid. So,
mm-hmm.
So that's what I go with, I guess.
No, I think
for the official countdown.
Yeah, I think that works. But
listen,
yeah,
I got to tell you, I'm exactly where you were. I was like, I know I love this song. But then I was listening to it for this, and I ended up in one of the sessions listening to it six times in a row. It is so fucking good. You know, you've got the jammy stuff off the top. It's a full minute, well, 59 seconds before you get any vocal at all. It's all just them jamming out and, you know, loosely jamming out, I would say.
Yes.
And really setting the table for not only the rest of the song, but like you mentioned, setting the table for the album.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, how long it takes to get into it. I love that they're taking their time on that. Like, I don't know. It feels obviously it is a throwback. It's an older record, you know, nowadays, but
yeah,
it feels so, I guess they're doing, it seems, I don't know. The conversation always about the record is that they're doing a throwback to like 70s classic rock. And
that's,
and,
yeah, I've heard that too. Yeah.
That's always the talk about it. And yeah, I guess with a nice slow intro, that kind of makes sense.
You hear it in that record?
I do, totally. And yeah. I think especially with Silence Kid, in a way that, again, like I said, it's an interesting question, is like what song gets the first on the record. And I think Pavement gets a lot of scrutiny about what their ordering of the songs and the way, obviously, which singles they release. There's a lot of like kind of debate as to, especially with Wowie Zowie. But
well, it's so obtuse. And by the way, I have to correct you because I'm, you know, I'm anal retentive, I suppose. I don't know. You mentioned Wowie Zowie is a double record. And it's actually three side.
Oh, true.
So it's not quite a double record. To make it even more fucked.
You know? Like just more. Like,
it's not a double record, but
hey,
it's a double.
Hey, you
record.
Wanted to get into this, like, yeah. Okay, we gotta listen to flip it again. Yeah. Yeah, but it's with Silence Kid. It's like, I don't know. Yeah, you get maybe first track kind of gets not the love that it deserves in general.
Okay,
because you hear the first track and you're like, okay, cool, this is gonna lead me into the whole thing. At least that's with myself. I feel like I maybe didn't paid enough attention or love, but I mean, getting back, like we just said, getting back into it is awesome. Takes its time. I mean, Malquist sounds great on it.
He does.
He's not belting yet, but he's making it known that, you know, there's some urgency here after we took our time walking in.
Yeah.
I like that. And it feel if it's a good way to feel into the record. Yeah, I don't know. And the song that I'm thinking about right now a bunch, just as I listened to Silence Kid a bunch, was it's off one of the deluxe editions. The Hey, Do You Need a Reason? Sutcliffe catering song.
Catering song, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I for whatever reason, just in my head, those two are like Silence Kid and that song are kind of coupled. For whatever reason.
Interesting. All right. I'll have to listen to them back to back.
Maybe give that a shot, because I feel like they're both kind of doing that similar, very open, bright, warm sound and feel, yeah, but with those classic kind of Malcolmus left of center lyrics, things that are a little bit more that you kind of got to dig yourself into a little bit more, which I really love.
Yeah. I mean, this is Pavement. This is a Pavement song. This is a song I would play for somebody if they asked me, you know, what is a Pavement song? I wouldn't say this is the be all end all, because they're so different, you know, all the time. But this is definitely representative of that era of Pavement. It's and it works so well as a leadoff single, you know.
And it gets that nice roll going, right? Yeah. Like, it's got this nice roll to it. You're feeling it. You're getting silence. What I'm not going to sing. People just listen to the song, but like you get this like good kind of.
Yes, it builds
rhythm sense to it. Where, yeah, I don't know. You show that to someone for the first time, it's like they got good taste. They're going to be into that.
Yeah,
I think even if they don't have good, I think they'll dig it no matter what.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. It's you know, God damn it! You just think back, like anyway.
Yeah, well, thinking back, I mean this song is one of those. Like I said earlier, getting into Pavement, I have a distinct memory of listening to this song, walking into class, like. University.
Cool.
And I don't know, I'll say that in the Sanford Fleming building, I was in the philosophy department, and because philosophy departments don't get a lot of money, we had to do all our classes in the engineering buildings. I have like just a very distinct memory of walking through the engineering building to go to like, I don't know, a philosophy 200 class and bump in Silence Kid and like not wanting to take my headphones off. Like to begin the class, like I was like, I want to listen to this again or like hear the end of this song. Class can wait 5 minutes. I'll miss the intro. Like I don't really care. I want to stick around on Silence Kid.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely, just a banger. You know, it's so good. Any line on what you think it's about?
I'm going to quickly pull up, this is terrible, but I'm going to quickly pull up the lyrics. Because sure. This is the weird thing for me is I feel like the lyrics don't maybe I listen to them in a weird way, but they don't, on this track and on a lot of other ones, it's a bit more just sensory, I guess. Like,
okay,
the individual lyrics maybe aren't sticking out as much other than Silence Kid. If that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah.
So it like I'm interpreting it more.
I'm a vocal person. That's like, I do a couple other podcasts about music, and it's interesting to hear my colleagues, you know, talk about music the way they interpret it. And it's, you know, far more musically literate than I am, because I just listen to the vocal line usually, and that's what I'm impressed with. So I did hear the lyrics, but it's interesting to hear again your experience with it.
Yeah, I think the lyrics are kind of maybe in this one, because I'm feeling the rock, I'm feeling the roll, maybe take a second place. But no, the other thing I remember I talking to a friend about Pavement in general. It's hard to try to decipher the lyrics. I don't, it almost, sometimes I feel like I, I don't want to sound too kind of dogmatic about Pavement, but sometimes it feels like interpreting scripture a little bit. Like, I don't want to, I'm concerned it's that I'll maybe misstep or something, and then I'll commit some sort of heresy. But I think that's also maybe the read that I want to have on it is that heresy is good. And I think that's maybe the sensation of the band is like, maybe we'll give you scripture, but it's okay if you're a heretic.
I guess so.
Yeah. At least that's the way I want to think about it. As a heretic, potentially.
So,
but yeah, read on the song. I don't know. Right. What's your read, JD? I want to hear what you got to say before, let's turn this around.
You can listen to episode 30 and hear, or whatever episode number it is, and hear my entire screed.
Cause you've done the whole.
Yeah. So I've got every a whole episode single of that. So I won't bore anybody with. I won't bore anybody.
Give me a little, rejig my memory a little bit here.
You have to rejig. I have no I have no memory.
You have no memory?
No, I bang these out, and we're doing this at the end of April, people, and this is it's winter now where you're listening to this, unless you're in the Southern Hemisphere, of course. But no, it's all right. I think, to me, this is probably one of his word salad songs. Like, it's like you get a tasty bite of a bunch of different things, mm-hmm. all in the same nutritious serving. So there's that. I think it's just a tremendous lead-off song. But is it overrated, underrated, or properly rated? Now, again, having just revealed, when we're recording this, I understand that contextually it's a bit difficult to say if a song is over, under, or properly rated when you don't know the rest of the list at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But just based on your gut, what do you think? Is this a top five song? Is this a Rushmore song?
Oh, maybe not for me, but I think it does make sense. I'm not upset with it.
Okay.
I think it's maybe my, I'm okay this being on the Rushmore. I'm glad it is. I think maybe I have it underrated in general. So it's been nice to get back to it and hear it again. But yeah, I don't know what the other three on this Rushmore, but yeah, I see it. It makes sense to me that this would be up there. It's such a powerful song, especially I can imagine for a lot of people that this is maybe the first song they hear. Presumably you buy the record for Gold Sounds and then you put the record on and
this is the first thing
you hear. Like that makes sense to me in a material way, under reading the material history of it. It's this is the first track. I saw a video for Gold Sounds, or I heard it on the radio, bought the CD. Yeah. Or cut your hair as well. Went, bought the CD or the vinyl or whatever, the cassette tape, and this is the first thing you hear and it like we were talking about before, it's a perfect intro to the record.
It is, but it's also unlike anything. Like listening to it today, I was struck by the fact that up until the time I heard it, I'd never heard anything like that before. I so wish I had found it in 1994, rather. I was in university then, and I missed out. I just completely missed out. I didn't get into them till 99, so, and they were already broken up. It was Christmas of 99. So
yeah, no, that the that's a great, unlike anything you've ever heard before, is such a good, it's a good way to describe it. Because, and again, this is what they're so good at, but they take all these different pieces and they make a beautiful new collage of all the different things. And maybe that's how I feel with the lyrics too. And that, like you said, it's a word salad song potentially.
Yeah. Now I'm sure Steve could tell us otherwise, but I doubt he would.
Yeah.
Uh, I remember one thing I remember from the episode is that there is a, I don't have the book handy anymore, but in Perfect Sound Forever, the book, there is a page from a magazine article that came out in 94, and SM is giving like one or two sentence praises of what each of the songs thematically is about. Mm-hmm. So I probably jumped off from whatever that was and
yeah, you know,
used that as my sort of litmus, which I didn't obviously provide to you. So, you know, that makes it a little more difficult. Put you on the spot like that.
All good, because we're talking about this some more and I'm thinking about it. And again, like, maybe this is just the way I think, but I'm a little hung up on, like, this is the first track. And I think there's a way that you can understand the lyrics. Like, I feel like some of the themes of the lyrics in Silence Kid reappear a few more times, right? Like,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, the bridge is, this is the city life. Let's talk about leaving is range lifey.
Okay.
And like this kind of like wanting to get out. I really like that. And then we have, even with the concept of like a silent kid, that also feels a little bit, that feels that similar, like, yeah, range life. I don't know, range lifey, but like wanting to, there's you're in X and you want to go to Y. Sensation. Okay. And I think as well, well, the other one that I'm thinking about off the second verse is
you're making me feel way higher than I am.
I'm sorry.
When you're,
man,
like,
I'm sorry,
when you're like, I'm on X and I gotta get to Y, I'm just like, whoa, this guy's on another fucking plane, man.
Dude, I'm sorry. It's 7:40. I've had a whole day over here.
Oh, right.
7 in the evening.
Right.
You're still in the You're still
just after
beginning of the
just
day
after 1 o'clock. Yeah,
yeah, but yeah, I don't know. And then maybe there's a way. This is a little. I hate to be. This is like very much. Yeah, I half-assed maybe. So I'm sorry, but maybe there's a way you can understand this. Like you'd understand like an overture in like a musical or something, of like they're giving you a bunch of these tasters that are gonna reappear in the rest of the record.
Ah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort yeah.
Of a
so like
prestige of the rest of the record.
Mm-hmm. In a weird way, in like a very like Pavement Malcolmissian way. Yeah. I don't know. This is my little pop theory right now, but city life, definitely range life thing. Talk about the family. Reminds me of Stop Breathing. You know, this like weird intersections with family. Obviously, the last section of verse two is don't listen to the rain or crooked rain, movement of the, you know, flows from the north gives its flows to the south. Yeah. That's my little like, I think I'm cleverer than I really am. Read.
No, I think that's a fucking bold attempt, right? Like it's very interesting and it's a unique take. We'll never know, you know, we'll never know, but I like that you've thrown that out there. If anybody else is listening and they want to build off it or tear it down in a polite and nice way, send me an email, jd@mediumalchemist.com. Would love to hear from you. Anything you want to plug at all?
I'll just plug myself as a person. I do like comedy stuff and stand up and sketch comedy and stuff out here in Amsterdam right now. And when this comes out, maybe I'll have a show so you can look me up online. My name's Tristan Bannerman, and on Instagram is where I'm most most active. Popular, but I'm at TBANNZ, T-Bands, at T-Bands. And so I post comedy videos on there and stuff, and would love to. My favorite thing to do at a comedy show is to not talk about comedy, but to talk about Pavement. So,
oh, that's great.
Be great to have people come up to me after and talk about Pavement.
Oh, fine.
I'm often rocking a Pavement shirt at the shows.
Oh, dude. Nice.
Yeah.
I love it. Do you ever get somebody saying to you because you're wearing the Pavement shirt?
Like yeah,
somebody I've actually approaching you.
Yeah. I've gotten some people approaching me, which is pretty cool. It's there's a couple guys in the scene here in Amsterdam that are Pavement heads, which has been really nice. And it's a good way to, like, at least for me, if you have a bad show, it's a good way to stop thinking about the bad show, is just be like, but man, I mean, have you heard Silence Kid recently? That song's crazy. That song
fucking
rips.
Rushmore. It's fucking Rushmore.
Dude, it's amazing. You're JD's take on it. That's a good way to quickly put behind a bombing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck. I know that feeling very well. I did stand up mm-hmm. as well for a time. Listen, Tristan in Amsterdam. It's been great to have you on. I want to thank you so much. I appreciate your time and your theories. We'll be back next week with fucking number 3, man. We've been at this for weeks. That's crazy town. So definitely tune in for that and wash your goddamn hands.
Thanks for listening to Meeting Malcolmus, a Pavement podcast, where we count down the top 50 Pavement tracks as selected by you. If you've got questions or concerns, please shoot me an email.
jd.meetingmalcolmus@gmail.com.
Duvra! Podcasts and such.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
How to have fun, anytime, anywhere. Step 1. Go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step 2. Collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step 3. Play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games. All for free?
Step 4. Unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.